Elijah Holcomb was 24 years old when he was shot and killed by a police officer, Andrew Rich, in the New South Wales town of Armidale. His death took place on June 2, 2009. Kate Wilde, journalist and author, has written a book called Waiting for Elijah, which follows the investigation of his case in the courts and the impact it's had on those who knew him. Kate started by telling The Wire's Rebecca St. Clair why Elijah's story was so important and why she wanted to tell it.
He was mentally ill at the time that he was shot, and his mental illness played into one of the significant reasons why he was shot. I was also fascinated by him because Elijah was not at all typical of the kind of person who is normally involved in a fatal police shooting. He did have a mental illness, but he had no criminal record. He had never come into contact with the police until the day that he was shot. And so as a way of looking at social attitudes and institutional attitudes towards mental illness in Australian society, he was a very unique case to take notice of.
What issues does the story raise?
Police across Australia have something like 380,000 contacts with the public every year, and at least 15% of the people that they come into contact with on a weekly basis are mentally unwell. So the police are sort of frontline mental health workers, and they deal with the most difficult mental health crises in the community. And we have very, very high expectations of the police in how they will handle those interactions, even though traditionally we've not provided the police with very good training in how to do that. There is still a very large stigma around mental illness and around talking about it, whether you manage a mental illness yourself or whether you come across it in other people. And one of the things I wanted the book to address was the foolishness of that silence.
Why are armed police officers so often at the front line of dealing with these kinds of events?
One reason is that mental health is not as well resourced in Australia as it needs to be. So the fact that there are not enough mental health workers, and particularly emergency mental health workers, around to tend to the needs of people when they're in crisis is one issue. The other is that when people become very seriously mentally ill with psychotic illnesses and they do become irrational and incredibly, incredibly frightened, they can become violent towards family members, sometimes other members of the community. And sometimes people in that state will arm themselves because they're frightened. And in those situations, calling the police is really the last resort. It's where we turn to for help when people don't know what else to do.
People that are already trained to deal with mentally ill people, such as critical response teams, are a part of our system. Where are they when situations involving mentally ill people and the police take place?
Where they are is usually dealing with another crisis. A couple of decades ago, we used to have large mental health institutions in Australia, and people were taken out of the community and put into these institutions to be cared for and to keep them and the community safe. We made a decision as a society that that wasn't the right way to treat people who were mentally ill, and that they should be able to live in the community with support in the community. And those crisis teams were supposed to be set up in every community to help people who were mentally ill. And there wasn't enough money put into it and enough practical support provided for those crisis assessment teams to operate at the level that they need to provide the care for everybody who needs it. I don't want the investigation that I do in the book to come across as a criticism of the mental health community for not trying hard enough to help people who need it. If I make a criticism, it is that the resourcing of that sector needs to be so much more so that people who are in crisis in the community can find help when they need it.
How does the escalation of events, such as in Elijah's case, impact the families?
You only have to imagine Elijah being your own brother or your own son or your father to put yourself in the shoes of the family of anyone who has a serious mental illness to understand what the impact might be. You have someone who you love who is very, very unwell, who you struggle to help. You want to help, you want to get them better, and it's very difficult to do that. And you are very, very frightened that they will go into an episode and do something that puts either themselves or somebody else in danger. And if you follow the media and if you follow the history of other people in these situations, one of your fears would have to be that they might come into contact with the police and end up in a fatal situation.
Journalist and author Kate Wilde speaking to The Wire's Rebecca St. Clair. Kate's book is on sale in bookstores and online now.